You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio, where each week we discuss the most important topics in the world of Indiana basketball. This is our 305th edition of Assembly Call Radio and our 962nd episode overall of the Assembly Call, recorded on the evening of August 24th, 2023. I'm your host, Andy Bottoms. And let's begin this edition of the Assembly Call how we begin every edition of the Assembly Call, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment.
And Indiana is the national champion.
When it comes down, Indiana will be champion.
Smart takes a shot.
The Hoosiers have won the national championship.
Well, a couple of things I wanted to hit on for the banner moment this week. The first of those is that it sounds like IU is going to be playing in the battle for Atlantis in 2024. So everybody start making plans to work on your family to be able to spend time around Thanksgiving in the Bahamas, which maybe shouldn't be that hard to convince people to do. But, you know, exciting for IU to be playing in one of those marquee events. Feels like it's been a long time since they've been in one of those. I know the year they were in Maui is the year that they had it in Asheville, so maybe that's why it feels that way. But I think a great sign in terms of, you know, where they sit in the pecking order nationally, and what should be a great opportunity for the team next year. Exciting opportunity for fans, and then I think it was Zach Osterman who talked a little bit about you know, how good of an experience it was when they went down there a couple years ago in the off season. So a good opportunity for that. And one of the benefits he called out was that you're not dealing with the time zones and some of the challenges that you have of going to Maui. Not that going to Maui is a bad thing by any stretch, but exciting opportunity for the program, for the team there. And the other thing I wanted to hit on, we'll touch on this a bit more briefly, but our friends over at the Hoosier Ticket Project had their annual giving blitz yesterday on the 23rd. They're obviously still accepting donations. It's not too late if you want to be able to give to that, but just a great organization. As I wrote yesterday, it made me think about my dad and the great memories that we had of going there. And the Hoosier Ticket Project is great because it gives people who may not be able to give, you know, get that opportunity for themselves. It gives them the chance to go and make those memories and build fans and things like that. And just a absolutely great organization. So glad to, as a show, be supportive of everything that they do. And so certainly would encourage you, if you want to learn more about them, go check that out. HoosierTicketProject.org. Just a great organization of Hoosier fans, and trying to keep building more Hoosier fans for the future, and again, getting people to games that they might not normally be able to get to. So excited about what they were able to accomplish. I don't believe that I saw what their final numbers were for yesterday, but seemed like they were doing pretty well in the middle of the day and had set a pretty aggressive goal for themselves. So excited to see how that all shakes out. But again, not too late, even if you missed the chance to donate yesterday. All right. So now to introduce my co-host for the week, Jared and Ryan are both off, but here with me, he's a longtime high school basketball coach in the state of Indiana, the second best bracketologist on the Assembly Call, which really shows you that I'll just read damn near anything that is on here. I would never say that about Coach by any stretch.
It's true.
And a man who knows how to celebrate an epic win over your rival. And with that, it's the coach.
He remembers the days when a movie cost a dollar. Heaven help you if you ever decide to pop your collar. Play hard, but remember, fake hustle is a crime. He's the coach, and it's Tonsoni time.
Coach, what's on your mind this week?
You know that these summer sessions and summer shows are kind of tough as we pile on until we start getting some basketball to talk about. But a couple things. You brought up the battle for Atlantis, and I feel the same way, Andy. It's just nice to see Indiana in with, you know, seven quality opponents, and you're going to see three games back-to-back. And the battle for Atlantis has always been one that I've tried to watch, one as a college basketball fan, but also as a, you know, just a bracketologist and wanting to see some basketball. It's a unique thing in the ballroom, and I wish I could go. I'm going to put that on my schedule to see if I can schedule some time to go. I think that's just, again, another signal, as you said, of the program moving in the right direction, and that's a positive. Also very interested in, you know, a couple of new walk-ons. We'll talk about them coming up. I think it's interesting that, you know, they're still wanting to build some guard depth, which I think speaks to some of the keys for Indiana basketball. More practice probably than anything. If they're getting some playing time, we have some bigger issues with Indiana basketball. But it's nice to see players wanting to come to Indiana and play at Indiana. So it's for an off week, it's pretty good. Football is right around the corner. College football starts up this weekend. If you're into NFL fantasy football, you're doing some drafting or at least preparing for the drafts. It's a fun time to be a college sports fan, pro sports fan. Everything starts getting going again. So I'm looking forward to a lot of evenings and days of football and basketball.
Absolutely. All right. Well, here's what we've got ahead this week on the show. We'll talk Hoosier headlines. Actually, quite a few. We've touched on a couple of them. We'll dig into those a little bit more. And then our second segment, we initially had this as five burning questions that will define the upcoming Big Ten season. Might have a couple extras to throw in there, a couple bonus questions as we talk about that, taking a step back a little bit and looking at the league. And then we'll answer your questions in our mailbag to close things out, as we always do. So all of that is coming up this week on Assembly Call Radio. But now let's talk about our presenting sponsor. And this edition of Assembly Call Radio, just like all shows on the Back Home Network, is presented by our friends at Home Field Apparel, where they have the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere. And it's not just IU. Home Field has something for fans and grads at pretty much every school, with unique vintage logos for all of them. No matter what you buy, you know it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. Plus, you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through the Kelley School of Business. And what could be better than that? Home Field has a lot of great things going on this time of year. To go back to the Giving Blitz, they came out with a couple different shirts for the Hoosier Ticket Project, and all of the profits from those will go directly to the Hoosier Ticket Project. So another way to support them and get some comfortable clothes at the same time. Also rolling out a series of bomber jackets of different schools as the college football season gets close. And then I believe the IU football bundle, I don't know what that entails, is unveiled this weekend. So lots of great IU stuff. I've got my IU soccer shirt that I just got from them not very long ago on this evening as the soccer season kicks off. The part that I watched before we came on here, IU was dominating possession, had been unable to score, and in checking Twitter now, looks like they fell behind, but quickly have tied it back up. So ranked number 2 in the country, exciting things on the pitch for the soccer team. And if it ever feels like I'm not living on the surface of the sun here, perhaps I'll try on the new oval hoodie, IU oval hoodie that I got. But putting a hoodie on right now feels like the absolute last thing I should be doing given the temperatures. But anyway, if you go to Home Field Apparel and use our promo code HOME23, you can get 15% off your first order. That's promo code HOME23 for 15% off. Once again, that website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. Really supremely timed ad read as I ad-libbed and ended just as the music
that was,
did. I couldn't do that.
Well,
I couldn't do that if I couldn't do that if I tried, though. So just if anybody thinks I'm really that good, we all know otherwise. But anyway, Coach, as we get into Hoosier headlines, I'm going to hit the first what you talked about. So a couple walk-ons were announced this week. One is Jordan Rayford, who's a transfer from Air Force. His name had come up earlier in the offseason, I feel like. 6'5", coming off a shoulder surgery. Offers from Maine and Old Dominion coming out of high school. And then Jackson Creel, who's a JUCO transfer, also 6'5", shot nearly 36% from three a season ago. You know, as you look at these guys, I think what you said is correct, Coach, that probably from a standpoint of you find them playing major minutes over the course of the season, you know, one of two things has happened. Either they're way better than you thought they were, or other things have gone sideways for IU. But I do think it certainly helps the depth. And the other thing you look at here is you're not using a scholarship. You're not tying yourself into having that scholarship potentially, you know, locked up in years to come. And so really no downside of these from an IU perspective. And you get a guy who at least has D1 experience in the Mountain West, and another guy who's shown some ability to shoot the ball at the JUCO level. So I think it helps in practice. I think you know, gives you maybe some other answers in an area where there are the most question marks on this team as you start to look at that way. And so really no downside, a couple interesting additions to the program. But any additional thoughts about anything you've read about those guys that intrigues you or that you feel like people should know?
Well, I just think, again, it speaks to Indiana's recruiting, you know, I guess schedule or the, what's their priority. They're getting guys with length. You have guards at 6'5" in Rayford and Creel. You have guys who can shoot the basketball. And just like you said, it was late in the roster building, roster construction for this year. But you got guys that if you had to in a foul trouble situation or something for 2 or 3 minutes are capable of playing good basketball. There are good walk-ons throughout college basketball. These kids can play. But they might not be at the level of, obviously, Big Ten basketball players. But when they come in, one, it's just good in practice. Anytime you can elevate your backups, your walk-ons, and get good talent into practice, that just makes your starters and your subs better. And it allows you to play some first unit against second unit type stuff. It gives some flexibility to Coach Woodson in a practice. And the other thing is, you know, you got Ja'Kai Newton with the injury and had a procedure to fix the old injury or whatever has happened, and he's likely to be out for some time. We don't know how long. But the guard position is not as deep as the front line, Mr. Obvious here. And you just never know when something might happen. But I think it speaks volumes when people want to come play at Indiana. You had Peyton Sparks, the Walker kid, knowing he's going to have a backup role coming to play for Indiana. I think they just keep being signs of how Coach Woodson is that general manager. You know, Jared and I have talked about that overseer of the program that I think we really needed. And I don't know that we needed an Indiana guy to do that, but this Indiana guy is really doing a great job. And that might have been the case of what we're doing is getting that program in the right shape. And, you know, there's an interesting question at the end of the about Coach Woodson, but he is doing everything to make sure that we stay relevant. Even when you lose four starters and two guys to the NBA, we're talking relevancy of a top Big Ten team. Most bracketologists have them, if they do preseason bracketology, likely to be in the tournament. That sometimes doesn't happen when you lose four starters and two guys to the NBA. So this is just another piece. It's a small one. And, you know, if they earn playing time, that's great. But I think, you know, we just don't know with our guards, other than Trey Galloway, what Trey Galloway is going to bring. We got questions at the point guard. We got a freshman backup point guard. You got two sophomores that we think are going to be really good. We just don't know when. So the more numbers give you more solutions if you have to go that direction.
Yeah, you talked about, you know, kind of trying to sometimes news being hard to come by as we hit the offseason. Well, September's news is going to be dominated by a lot of recruiting visits. There's pretty much at least a couple guys every weekend. Inside the Hole did a nice job of laying out who all is coming when. But the first weekend, Labor Day weekend, Jalen Harrelson, Malachi Moreno coming in. Then the following weekend is the one I know everybody's got circled with Derek Queen and Liam McNeely. Austin Swartz coming in on the 15th, Braylon Mullins on the 19th, and then the 23rd, Trent Sisley and Alex Alston. So just a lot of key targets coming in during that timepiece. During that time frame for IU as they look to try to build out players in the next couple classes. There's some 2024s and 2025s within that group, but a lot of guys they've put time into already. And so be interesting to see. I know you tend to view this a lot like I do. It's easy to get excited about these guys, but don't, you know, put too much stock into it till at least they get on campus and ideally sign. So be interesting to see. There'll be a lot of news on that front over the course of September. You've also got, I touched on this earlier in IU in the battle for Atlantis in 2024. Other teams in that field include Arizona, Gonzaga, Louisville, Creighton, West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Davidson. So a lot of really quality programs in there. So exciting, again, as we mentioned, to be part of that. And then you mentioned Mike Woodson. He gets a $1 million raise now at $4.2 million per season. Which is really just part of the same 6-year deal that he signed originally So puts him up at the third highest paid coach in the Big Ten, at least according to the numbers that Jared had here. I think most people would not probably pick who who's right below him in the pecking order. It's actually Kevin Willard of Maryland. I won't play trivia time with you because I assume you're reading the run sheet. So not really not really too much to do there. And then a bunch of guys right in that $3.5 million range as well. But any I know we touched on the battle for Atlantis. Any thoughts on the recruiting piece or the Mike Woodson Rays?
One, I do like what we're doing recruiting wise. I don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to it and try not to get too excited because you know that a visit, an offer, these kids get a lot of visits and a lot of offers from good schools. And so I don't, you know, set all my hopes and dreams on this kid coming or this kid coming. There's obviously young men that I'd like to see play at Indiana, but just the fact that we're getting a lot of visits and who we're recruiting, again, that's another thing that Mike Woodson, as general manager, overseer of the Indiana program, has done really well as he's getting his players, long, lengthy, talented players, to at least listen to them and be in the top five, top eight. He's not winning everyone. And there may still be some questions about the long-term recruitment versus the short-term. He seems to be better short-term. Those are all real. But recruiting is difficult, but I think we're in the right direction if we want Indiana to be back where they're at. And there, then he deserves a raise for that and getting Indiana back into the tournament for 2 years, keeping Indiana relevant with the transfer and portal this year. And I like the fact of a raise as opposed to an extension at this point. I have no problem with Coach Woodson, but who knows if he wants to coach, you know, through another contract or whatever at his age. But you honor the hard work that he's done in 2 years. To get us back in a tournament, to have winning ways, to produce NBA players. I like that he got that raise. I also like, Andy, that he's third in the Big Ten. I mean, if basketball is going to be a priority and we're going to get back to putting banners in Assembly Hall, then we've got to pay for good coaching. And that goes for the assistants and bringing in, you know, players, former players like Hulls and Cheney. This all of that stuff is headed in the right direction. I think that's very worthy of the raise. So these are good things, even in the off season here before we have basketball, that are happening to Indiana.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, coming up on Assembly Call Radio, we're going to look around the Big Ten a little bit. It's a league that has two pretty clear-cut favorites, no matter where you look, some interesting incoming talent, and a lot of questions. So we'll look at a few of those key questions that'll help define the Big Ten season coming up. So we'll do that when we come back. Stick with us here on the Assembly Call.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Good evening.
Stay cool, everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Our AC was out earlier in the summer. I am extremely glad it wasn't out. No. Knock on wood.
We have some classrooms that it went out this week, and so we're moving.
Ooh.
Moving people from one end of the building to the other, and pushing back practices or canceling practices. It's just been a tough 3 or 4 days.
Yep. Seems like some relief in sight coming up. So hopefully everybody can make it through the next couple of days and be there. I know Jared, if he was on, would say it's like this every day in Dallas. We get it. But anyway. All right.
All right. You ready to roll?
Let's talk some Big Ten. A lot of, I think like you, I started pulling up rosters and trying to figure out kind of forget some of the comings and goings, and there's even more of that than, you know, normal with the transfer portal. But yeah, there's, you know,
there's a lot of uncertainty in the Big Ten.
Which is probably why there's such a huge gap between the first couple teams, because the first couple teams are really the ones who have a ton back, and then the others are the question marks. So we'll get into that.
All righty. Here we go.
All right.
What's going on? It's Christian Wofford. What's the only thing better than an epic buzzer beater? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join my guys, Jarrett, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the assembly call after every IU game. Go Hoosiers.
All right, welcome back to the assembly call. I'm Andy Bottoms here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni. And before we get into some burning Big Ten questions heading in to this upcoming basketball season, just once again wanted to talk about the Hoosier Ticket Project's Giving Blitz. They hit a huge one day. They had a huge one day goal of getting 15,000. Do not believe they hit that, but we can still help out as we go through the coming days. You can do that by going to HoosierTicketProject.org/GivingBlitz. And as I mentioned before, they also got a couple great home field shirts where all the profits from that are going to the Hoosier Ticket Project as well. So multiple ways to help those folks out, particularly as we get ahead to football season and hopefully a team that gives fans something to cheer about as we go forward. So, all right, Coach. So we set out to have five burning Big Ten questions. I think we got a couple more than that, but we can we'll hit as many of these as we can. So we'll start with IU. This is one that Jared had thrown in here. And so this is probably one where if you knew the answer to this question, maybe we'd be doing something other than being on the show. But the way it was phrased here, IU is one of the most talented but unproven front courts in the country. How will it all coalesce with an experienced point guard running the show? So what do you think are some of the key ways and maybe the key things that you're looking for early in the season to see if that's actually happening?
Well, in general, when we talk all these Big Ten teams, we're going to look at everyone and who's coming back. That's how we're going to judge Illinois and all of that. That's how the national guys judge these teams. And while we know who's coming in to the program as new talent and who might blossom like Gunn and Banks, you and I probably don't know that about Illinois. You know, we know Taryn Shannon's coming back, so we're going to judge Illinois on who we know is coming back, and then we're going to kind of – we don't downplay their new guys, but we just really don't feel as good about their new guys as we feel good about our guys. So that's something that I would urge fans to consider is that, you know, we know more about Indiana. We don't know a whole lot about these other teams other than just who we've seen play before. And so we judge Indiana a little differently than we judge some of the other Big Tens just because we don't have much to go on. And the other thing is it's a guards game. I've said that over and over again. I believe it's a guards game. Do you need big, talented front court players to win? Yes, we had Trace Jackson Davis. We don't do anything without a big man. So with that being said, I think Xavier is the key to Indiana next year, Andy. I just think if he can play consistent ball – And the good X that he played for that 10-game stretch the year before he got injured, I think Indiana has enough talent on that front line that it's going to mesh really well. I think people are going to get open. Obviously, concern about shooting is there. But I think it's nice in this situation when you have a lot of new players on the front line that are extremely talented to have a six-year veteran come back. But I do – think there are some questions about X and his consistency and decision making in his play. The last year, I'm not sure he had a consistent start before he got hurt. He had some really outstanding games and he had some questionable games. I'd love to see that ironed out. If he can iron that out for the most part this year, I think our front line mixes well with what he does in using the bounce, using the ball screen, throwing lobs, those types of things. So I think the team's set up to be successful, but I think there are more questions than a lot of us will honestly want to face or want to state publicly because we just want the train to keep moving in the right direction. And so we have to be aware of some of those questions on the point guard, on the guard shooting, and with some of the inexperience on the talented front line.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you want to keep yourself, and this is a trap that we've fallen in plenty of times over the course of time on this show, but, you know, kind of trying to talk yourself into the absolute ideal version of every guy on the team. And I think that's where IU fans, it's easy to get excited about the talent there because the talent is great. And what you don't know is how well it all gels together. And that's ultimately why this is one of the biggest questions that will, you know, determine where IU falls among a pretty wide range of outcomes for the team. I think, you know, the two things that I would say as you look at it, one of them, you know, I think with X last year, he never really seemed to get into a great feel for how he was going to play with Hutchifino. And to the extent that, you know, nobody's ever going to know whether that was in any way leading to the inconsistency that he had, but that overall factor is not there this year. He kind of knows going in, it's his show, a lot more like what it was a couple years ago. Does that help him or not? That's probably, you know, it's certainly too early to say, but I do think that's one factor that has been eliminated from what may have impacted his play last year. And I think the other thing to think about is, you know, would you rather have it this way where you've got a somewhat unproven young front court and an experienced guy running the point, or would you rather have experienced front court guys with a young guy running the point that you're trying to figure out how to get them the ball? And I think it'll be a great test of, you know, he said this a lot last year, proof is in the pudding when he actually gets out there, but the way he was able to see the game from the bench. And if that is something that he really learns from and is able to build on this year, he can help elevate the young guys by putting them in position to be successful versus, you know, the other scenario I talked about where you got experienced bigs and inexperienced point guard. That to me is a more difficult equation. But all of that points back to, he has to play well for this team to be good. He has to be really good for this team to come close to the, you know, ceiling that they have. And, you know, ultimately why it's one of the bigger questions in the league as we enter.
I think you make a valid point, you know, with X and Schifino and figuring all of that out. But you all, the other point that I want to agree with you is that we got an experienced point guard. and yeah, you'd rather have that experienced point guard. Now, sometimes it's been good experience. Sometimes it's been a little shaky experience. But you got to have belief that the six-year guy is going to come back and play well. You don't turn that away. You don't encourage him to go to the pros. You don't do that. If he wants to come back, you are happy that he comes back based on experience alone. And even when he would play average or above average, he's going to be better based on that experience than a young guy coming in. So it is a guards game. And when we start talking about some of these other Big Ten teams, the reason we probably have them elevated ahead of Indiana is guards and guard depth. And the reason Indiana is kind of in the middle of the pack, 3, 4, 5, 6, is because they have guards, but there's some questions. And then I would say the teams that have a lot of questions at the guard level, those are the teams that are going to be a lot lower in anyone's rankings. And I just feel that you know, you could have, as you said, all the talent at the front line you want, but you don't have people to get them the ball or stretch the floor, you're not going to be a good basketball team.
Yep. All right, next question will stay within the state of Indiana, and this one is about the team in your neck of the woods. But, yeah, kind of a couple questions here. You know, one being, how does Purdue respond to the way that last season ended? And does the way that ended, do you think they make any changes schematically, whether that's, you know, defensively? Don't know that you're going to see a ton of different things on the offensive end for them, with Edie really being the centerpiece there. But, you know, how do you think they come back this year? They're ranked really high in every preseason projection, as you would expect them to be. They didn't lose very much outside of Jenkins and Brandon Newman. They still have Edie. The freshman guards are a year older. But how do you think they respond to the way that things ended for them a season ago?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be motivation. They're very talented, and they were very good last year and have a ton coming back. And I know that they're working to improve. I think you'll see a slight change schematically to try to play a little more up-paced. They have to. That's part of the reason they got beat by the 16th seed, is that, you know, they just got outquicked. And the sad thing is you have an asset like Zach Edey, you got to use him. But when you have an asset that has some limitations that Edey does, he only can play in certain spots at the post, and he does it very well, and he offensive rebounds like crazy. And then you have to play drop coverage with him. I don't see him improving enough on the ball screen, and so people can take advantage of that drop coverage just like Schifino did. And we had the little Chicago action handoff to Galloway in the game in Bloomington, and Schifino had that same action. So, you know, how do you not play an asset like Edey? And I don't know if you can really play up-tempo an awful lot with Edey in the game. But you have some guys that when you take Edey out – aren't going to be as, quote, dominant on the size, but Trey Kaufman-Wren has had a good off summer from what I hear. My son has worked him out at his summer place of employment, and I had a chance to watch him work out. I think he's going to be okay. So I think Purdue is going to have to try to change something, and it might be giving Edey a little bit more minutes off and maybe changing things up inside a game. I don't know, it's a difficult situation for Coach Painter and Purdue, but they're going to win a lot of games while they're trying to figure it out. Whether they can advance in the tournament is probably the bigger question.
Yeah, I'd agree. All right, we'll kind of stay toward the top of the standings. You know, Purdue and Michigan State, based on anything that you look at, Torvik, they're the top two teams. Thinking what Alex did on Inside the Hall, they were the top two teams. And then there's kind of a drop-off. I think in large part, as we talk about a league with a lot of unknowns, you've got those two teams where known commodities from a coaching perspective, neither team really lost anybody, or significant pieces from what they had a year ago. And in the case of Michigan State, they bring in a really strong recruiting class. So, you know, the question for me, Coach, more at a league level is, yeah, who is the third best team? It feels like those two, then a big drop off. But, you know, as you slot it right now, or as you've looked over rosters a little bit, who do you think fits into that potential third best team in the league category?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you're going to elevate Maryland and Wisconsin due to the vast number of players coming back. You have Illinois with some talented players coming back, but a huge question mark at point guard. So, you know, when I go to the criteria that I mentioned at the beginning, you look at who's coming back, and then you look at point guard. I know a lot of people have Illinois in that spot. I don't see that without a point guard establishing itself. And so they have this Gibbs Lawhorn kid who is from the Lafayette area originally. I saw him when he was in middle school growing up. Really talented, but 6'1". If he can be a dominant point guard, then Illinois – but I'm going to say Maryland because of the young, Jameer Young is the point guard. Mm-hmm. Very quick, very athletic. I thought he played really well for most of the year. And then you got Scott back. And I think you have some good talent back. And Maryland under Willard surprised some people last year. So I see them similar to Indiana under Woodson in year one, under Woodson in year two, taking a little step ahead and getting in that top four. If I were to predict on what little knowledge I have, I'm going to say Maryland. Wisconsin, Andy, is in the same boat, but their system, you know, Hepburn and Wall, very talented, Asesian, very talented kids, but that system keeps everyone in the ball game, right? They don't have that talent to just outplay people. And so for years, they've had the ability to win games with that system, and I see that continuing. But I think the talent level of the Big Ten individually has, risen that I don't know that I see, even with everyone coming back. Hepburn wasn't as good as everyone thought last year. And Wall, I think, took a step back. Asesian can flat out shoot the ball. But I don't see Wisconsin being in the top four. I'd go Maryland, Illinois, Indiana, and then start talking some other programs, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me, I think if I look at, I'm trying to think what I looked at earlier, the top 25 and one that Gary Parrish does, I think Illinois was the only other team outside of Purdue and Michigan State in that was in that top 25, or I guess top 26, as it were. But I think they got questions, and we'll talk a little bit more about them here in a couple minutes. You know, I think that the teams that feel intriguing there are two of the ones you mentioned in terms of Maryland and Wisconsin. And I think, you know, when you look at that, I tend to lean Maryland between the two. You've got Jameer Young as a point guard who was really successful as he transferred, I think, from Charlotte, and was able to integrate pretty well into things there. You've got Dante Scott, who's been there forever. Julian Reese gives you some versatility on the inside. You know, the thing with them is there's a lot of turnover. They got a couple top 100 guys coming in. They got some transfers, including, you know, Jordan Geronimo. So they've got a lot of things where you've got that core of those three guys, and it becomes a question of how you can integrate the other pieces alongside of them. But didn't lose, probably outside of Hakeem Hart, anybody who was a huge producer for them. And then Wisconsin is, you know, they've got almost everybody back, you know, short of Jordan Davis, who left. You know, Hepburn Wall, Crowell, Asijan, who I think is going to be, who I was really impressed with a year ago. And then they added a transfer from St. John's, a few other freshmen there. I think there's been so many times in the offseason where we've kind of undersold Wisconsin teams, and I think style of play is part of that, both just from a aesthetic point of view, but also from what you said, in a way that all the games are going to be close. They may win some, they may lose some, but they need Hepburn to be a lot better than he was a year ago. And so can they get more out of any of the guys that they have, or are they kind of, yeah, I think the way that Alex put it in his write up here was good. He goes, you kind of made a case for and against each team. He said the case against failed to meet expectations last season, and the most experienced players may have already hit their ceiling as players. And so I think you've got a little bit more room for growth potentially in a Maryland team that, that has some of these guys. I think Jameer Young is more dynamic to me than anybody that Wisconsin has. So I tend to lean Maryland a little bit there. But I think those are two of the teams that'll be in the mix. As you see that, and like I said, could be another time that we point back to, well, we should have thought more of Wisconsin than we did, but you never know.
It's so interesting. You know, you and I with bracketology, we look at results, which is really good because you know what they're doing on the court, and then you can make your judgments of what the committee's going to do. In these preseasons, we do this, the national people do. You're in awe because Wisconsin has everyone coming back. What did they finish last year? What were they?
Yeah, they were. Hang on, I got it here. They were 20-15 overall, 9-11 in the league.
Okay, so they're one of that bunched teams in what five through nine or 5-10, whatever that was.
Yeah, they were 17-14 at the end of the regular season. They did go 3-1 in the NIT. That was kind of overall record. That wasn't record as of the, you know, end of the regular season.
So sometimes when you have returning starters that were okay, they're just might be okay again. There's no guarantee that just because you're coming back 1 year later, you're going to be better. Yes, they work hard. Yes, they're working on in another year together in a system. All of that stuff is true. But what Alex said in the write-up is true. If you've hit your ceiling as a basketball player, you're at your ceiling. And maybe Wisconsin has a bunch of guys who are at their ceiling. And again, I do appreciate their system of play because it has been effective, but it's one of those where the system will win you some games, but does it win you tournament games? Does it get you to the top of the league? It might get you the top four. Wisconsin's done that a lot, but I think Wisconsin is middle of the pack at best would be my guess.
Yeah, I call something that you described kind of essentially like the IU football conundrum that I've seen. I can't tell you how many preview magazines over the course of time where it's like, oh, they bring back this number of guys. And then you look and it's like, well, the team wasn't very good last year. Are we excited that we bring back that many guys? So, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we need an overhaul.
Yeah, maybe. All right. So you touched on Illinois a little bit. This is an intriguing one for me. Basically, the question for me is, will the pieces fit together better for Illinois this year than they did a year ago? I think everybody got really excited about the guys they were able to bring in, where they, you know, had Sky Clark coming in, they had Matthew Meyer come in, they added Terrence Shannon, Dane Danger. And I think as you look down those guys, some of them worked out, some of them didn't. They were a bit up and down and never really seemed like that team gelled all that well. And so, you know, now you look at them, they still have Coleman Hawkins, who decided to return. Terrence Shannon is back. Danger is back. And a couple young guys who played well at times, and Ty Rogers and Sincere Harris are there. So you've got them. You lose Mayer. You lose, you know, Clark left middle of the season. They lost Jaden Epps, who I thought had played well over the course of the season. RJ Melendez left, who was, you know, played big minutes, but they've got, you know, additional transfers. They've, you know, they got somebody from Southern Illinois and Utah Valley and Oregon, another top 100 guy. So they're still trying to fit guys around essentially Shannon, Coleman Hawkins, and Danger at this point. And so, you know, ultimately for them, you've had a lot of roster turnover again. It didn't work very well a year ago, or it didn't work very well consistently. And so does the mix of players that you've managed to assemble this year, if you're Brad Underwood, work out better than it did a year ago? And I think, you know, you can pin some of that on different guys, and maybe Meyer was a guy who looked for his own shot first. But I also think when you look at some of the decision-making of Coleman Hawkins at times, was a bit questionable, and you really struggle to have a you know, Shannon is not a true point guard in that scenario. So a really good returning player, but you have to figure out who's going to be your point guard to circle back to our conversation on IU. So, you know, how do you see the Illini being able to answer that question? And does anything lead you in the direction one way or another that maybe this team is a better recipe than the one a year ago?
Yeah, I think everyone had them a highly ranked last year, and they faltered. And then I think what could happen this year is everyone's thinking, because of their lack of guard play, that they're going to be middle of the road, and I think they could surprise. I think they had chemistry issues, and I'm a big Coach Underwood fan, but he's tough to play for. And in this day and age, he's a throwback. He is really tough on his players, and today's players sometimes may not like that. So that means Coach Underwood really has to recruit the right character for his coaching style, more so than others. And you can criticize that and say he should adapt or whatever, but he's just one tough SOB. I mean, I'll never forget, my son was manager in Indiana State. They went over for a closed scrimmage, and he called me on the way back. He said, "Dad, whoa, holy cow, this new coach at Illinois is absolutely crazy." I like that you know, when I've been around him at media events and listened to him talk, I think he really cares about his players, but, man, he is tough. And so I think the last couple of years he's had squads that didn't respond to his coaching, especially at the guards, and the Clark leaving, and I don't think Meyer that worked out. So there have been some decisions there. So I think they have a chance talent-wise, but again, to me, going back to the criteria, guard play, I can't rank them in the top four or five necessarily. That's why I'd have Maryland, and then, you know, I think it's Indiana, then maybe Illinois, because the guards question. I just think you have to have guards. Illinois didn't last year and had talent and was middle of the road, 8-9 seed or whatever they were in the tournament. I see that again, unless a point guard establishes itself. And that's where we talk about Xavier Johnson. We're in better spot because at least we know what we have in a six-year veteran, which is in a lot better position than Illinois.
Yeah, the next team to talk about is Ohio State. I'm not sure that anybody has had more roster turnover than Ohio State. I had a really, you know, the question for me, can they bounce back from a disappointing season given how much they changed the roster? In some of these cases, to go back to what we talked about before, maybe turning over a lot of the roster of a team that went 1-14 during a 15-game stretch at one point is a good thing. And I think there's potentially an argument to be made there. But, I mean, they were 10-3 at one point and then we're 11-17 after the next 15 games. And that Big Ten tournament run was really impressive to get to the semifinals, but that was signs of life they really had not shown for a significant portion of the season. And so you lose Bryce Sensabaugh, who goes to the NBA draft. You lose Justice Suing. Sean McNeil, you know, played minutes for them. They've got, I think, you know, maybe not the best recruiting class in the Big Ten. That's probably Michigan State, but they've got, you know, three top 50 guys coming in. A couple transfers to get Jameson Battle from Minnesota, who we all know, Bonner from Baylor, you know, a couple in-conference transfers, even got somebody from Penn State after the coaching change there. So, you know, for a team that was pretty disappointing, they've got a decent nucleus with Zed Key, Bruce Thornton back. Roddy Gale played really well toward the end of the season. But, man, it was a rough year for them. And with that much roster turnover, is that a means to really bounce back in what was, you know, by far Chris Holtmann's worst year from a Big Ten standpoint since he's been there, at least from a record point of view. So as you look at them, yeah, I feel like that's the question with a lot of these Big Ten teams. I think that's why there's so much of a gap between the Purdue and Michigan State and everybody else, because a lot of the questions are kind of the same. But a team that's going to be really heavily reliant on freshmen, can a team like that that doesn't have is coming off of a year where you didn't win a lot of games, is that a possible thing where Chris Holtmann is a good enough coach to really turn things around and really shoot them back up the standings in the league?
Yeah, this is a team that as we evaluate them, we don't know how well their talent supposedly fits in. You know, they may have Mbako. They may have, someone who transferred in that we know and believe is going to be really good. And we just don't read about Ohio State much until the season gets started and we start seeing them play. The thing that you have to be concerned with is anytime you overturn a roster this much is how quickly do you get cohesion with the basketball team offensively and defensively to do what Coach Holtmann does. I believe Coach Holtmann is good enough to do that, and other squads in the NCAA have put freshmen out there and competed at a high level. But usually those are your blue bloods who get five stars and that. And I don't know what the level of talent is. I was just looking. I had it called up, and I was just looking at the thumbnail pictures of the players, and I hardly recognize anyone. Jamison Battle, I got that. And Thornton is a nice piece there for Ohio State as well. But you never count out a team that has some ability. I think Ohio State has ability because Holtmann and Ohio State name and the recruiting class is pretty solid. No one knew. We knew Sensabaugh from Indiana's recruitment, but we didn't know he was going to be that good. The year before, Ohio State had a freshman, I forget his name, really pop, that no one was really counting on. So I think Ohio State has shown that they've brought in freshmen, and they've had one or two that have really played above what a lot of people who may not be paying attention to Ohio State has done. So, again, I think they're middle of the pack, 7, 8, 9, based on just the criteria. I don't know a whole lot of people coming back, and guard play. Those are why I would have them lower. But I don't discount Coach Holtmann or any coach in the Big Ten for what it's worth.
Yeah, next question I've got is, how does Northwestern, or can Northwestern, sustain their success from a year ago? So they really were one of the surprises of the league, certainly one of the surprises in a positive way, finishing 12-8, getting back to the NCAA tournament for the second time under Chris Collins. But last time they did that, things dropped off dramatically the following year and stayed there for a while. They're just not a program who has seen multi-year back-to-back years of success, and I think Boo Booey is arguably one of the better point guards in the league. I don't think that's arguable, but one of the better point guards in the league, that always helps, as we talked about before. Brooks Barnheiser was a guy who showed some promise last year, and I know somebody that your son has worked with a little bit over the summer as well. But they lose Audige, who was erratic offensively but really disruptive on the defensive end. And so just for a team that hasn't been able to sustain success in the past, ultimately it boils down to, like, is this a different scenario for Northwestern, and are they able to really build upon what they did last year, or could it end up being viewed as somewhat of a flash and a spike in production, but then a drop off the following year?
I'm leaning more for a drop off, but I'm not sure how much of a drop off. Coach Collins has done a good job. He stayed with it. He's been patient, and he finally got a group together. When you have Boo Booey back, that is a huge piece. I don't think it's 12-8 good like they were last year. So, yeah, I do. I like your terminology. I think they spiked last year, and previous years when Northwestern has done that, they have fallen all the way back down to the bottom. I see a softer landing this year because of some of the pieces they have back. And I think some of the programs – I mean, the whole Big Ten is well-coached and talented to some extent, and there are always teams that spike, and there are always teams that are supposed to be 1, 2, and 3 that fall down to 7, 8, 9. Michigan the last couple of years has been heavily thought of prior to the season starting, and then they've just kind of fallen off with heavy amounts of talent and good coaching. So I just think that it's hard at Northwestern. It's really hard to sustain that year in and year out from a recruiting standpoint. And again, without knowing a whole lot of details about their roster construction, their saving grace is their guards. I think Barnheiser at a small forward type is a real tough-nosed coach's kid from here in Indiana, Lafayette area. Those are some pieces that can win some games enough to be, you know, a mid-level program.
Yeah, with them, it's interesting. You kind of look back a little bit at their history on KenPom here, and you know, they tempo wise, I wouldn't say they ever really sped up, but for, you know, 2020-2021 season and then the following season, they had played at a bit faster pace. They really slowed it back down again a year ago. The defensive numbers have been, you know, that part was not an anomaly of what we've seen from Chris Collins. There have been other years when they had really strong defensive efficiency numbers. I think it was one of their better seasons on the offensive end. And there's an argument to be made that without a guy like Audige, who was very streaky, not very efficient, you know, maybe the offense doesn't take a huge hit in that scenario. But it is a lot to try to figure out who you're going to get points from outside of Boo Booey. And if the defense was really your calling card, and you lose the best defender off that team, how do you navigate that situation as well? So an interesting one for sure. And then, you know, we couldn't get out of here without a question about Fran or Fran's team, that is. So Iowa is out of Murray's at this point, unless there's another one that's coming up that I just don't know about. But who do you see as the go-to guy for them in a team that, well documented, is an offense first outfit, and you know, the Murrays have really carried them here over these last couple years. And you also, you know, lose, you know, Connor McCaffrey, who was a big part of their program, Rebraca, big guy inside, as well as, you know, Aaron Euless and things like that. So a lot of turnover for them. So who becomes the next guy to somehow keep them, you know, toward the top of the offensive rankings, because they're going to have to be, because I don't think the defensive switch is flipping anytime soon.
So everyone knows my love of Fran McCaffrey. I don't know who the next guy is, but for years we didn't know who the next guy was going to be, and all of a sudden what Coach McCaffrey does really well is develop players. You know, they come out of nowhere. We kind of knew Murray last year because he was an understudy to his brother. But even the older Murray, we weren't, you know, going into his freshman year, we weren't saying he's automatically going to be something. And Garza before that for 2 years was just a big center. And then next thing you know was an offensive juggernaut. You have to credit Fran. And, yes, this is true. The sun hasn't gotten to me. The excess heat has not gotten to me. But you have
Coach
to credit him.
Clearly dehydrated, but all right.
Yeah, that he allows people to be free on offense, which I think a lot of more coaches need to do. They need to free up their guys, put them in positions, put them in sets to be able to attack. And I think what you see is most Iowa players overachieve on the offensive end. When you look at them, you don't think great offensive players, but they score in the 90s because they're confident, and he gives them confidence to go play the game offensively. Defensively, yeah, that's where defensively, and then all his technicals and his attitude, that's part of my disdain for the guy. But I think he develops his players really well. And so I'm not sure about the roster at all. But I'm sure there's someone on there that'll be their leading scorer and give fits to everyone in the Big Ten that someone's not thinking about. Do you have the roster right there? I did not pull that up. I pulled up almost everyone else on our run sheet, but I did not pick Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Peyton Sanford's the most likely guy to step into a more prominent offensive role. His brother is a top 100 recruit who's there as a freshman. But even if you look at what he did last year, he was streaky as well. I think had a really good game against IU, maybe one or maybe both games, quite honestly. But you know, shoots it shot a ton of threes, shot 172 threes, almost the most on the team for them, despite only playing about half of the minutes. But was relatively efficient, has shown some flashes of being a good shooter. So it feels like he's going to be a guy they have to count on to take more of that offensive load. Tony Perkins, I know he had a really good game in the game at IU, but not necessarily an explosive scorer. So, you know, they have questions, but yeah, I think like you said, he finds ways to put guys in position. So I do think they're one that's going to probably fall a bit in the league. They have more questions than most, but I just couldn't escape the chance to get a Fran related question in here for you. So,
you gotta find some good in everyone. Even Fran has some good things, you know,
this is true. So, all right, well, lots more questions than that, I'm sure, but that some of the biggest ones that we can see coming into the season. So we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back on Assembly Call Radio, it is mailback time, and we got a great bunch of questions, and so we'll answer those and then call it a night. So stick with us here on the Assembly Call.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Was there some extra music in there just now?
I didn't hear anything extra.
Okay. Well, sometimes when I fix my ear buds here, it turns on my Apple Music. And so all of a sudden I was sitting here getting ready to hit the outro, and I heard some song pop on. I didn't know if that went out over the air.
I did not hear it.
I don't think so, because it's not tied to that whatever I have on my computer, the mixer.
I don't know.
But that's all Jared stuff. But I thought, oh crap.
Nope, you're good. So, you're good. Nobody. Everybody's left wondering what kind of stuff you're listening to. So.
It's nothing good.
It remains a mystery.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to hit a few questions? Don't have a ton, so we'll probably go through some of these fairly quickly. So,
all righty, here we go.
All righty.
Hi, this is James Blackman Jr. I never miss an open three, and I never miss an episode of the Assembly Call. Go Hoosiers!
All right, welcome back to the Assembly Call. I'm Andy Bottoms here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni, and it is now time for our mailbag. Most of these questions were submitted via our private IU basketball discussion community, which you can learn more about and join at assemblycall.com/community. So the first one comes from, who knows who this could be, Calbert fan in Frisco 40. As you reflect on your bracketology performance in previous seasons, what adjustments or improvements will you be looking to make this season?
You know, Andy, I thought our group had a really good year last year. I think we had our second highest score ever. And so we were in the 6-7 years we've been doing it. I thought we did a good job last year. Now, a lot of people scored high, and so our ranking was in somewhere in the middle or wherever it was. And that's a discussion for another time. But, you know, we're now at a point where we're just competing against ourselves, or we go compare ourselves to you or some of the CBS guys, and that's what we do as a group. because it's just gotten, bracketology's gotten so big, and so many people are looking at things and doing things, it's going to take a real incredible effort to be in the top 10 going forward. So, but I thought we did a fantastic job. I thought our group was really good, had several good meetings. But the one thing that we always want to adjust is making sure that towards the end that we don't make too many changes based on one result. With the conference tournament games, they do count, and I do think it might change some things every once in a while. But really trying to get that hammered out on Tuesday and Wednesday, a real strong foundation, and sticking to that, short of a couple exceptions. I think when we haven't scored well in the bracketology, we've allowed the media or that to sway us into thinking there's a lot of changes going on Saturday and Sunday. With that being said, I do think the committee paid a little more attention to those things after us bracketologists said all that. And so it's a year-by-year adjustment. You got to try to guess who's on the committee and what they're doing. But it's just a fun exercise. I know you enjoy it. You do a great job inside the hall and publishing all of that. I know our group is looking forward to that, and it's just given our high school group so much access to college athletics and getting to help young people at Delphi. So we just continuously look for just small pieces of information that'll help clue us in on where people are going to be seated.
Yeah, I would echo some of the same things you said. I mean, one thing would be to get the committee to do, you know, think more like me, but I think the couple things that stood out is while you were talking, I was kind of pulling up my sheet from the end of the year. You know, a couple teams I missed by two spots on, or by two seed lines on. One was Florida Atlantic, which I stand by should have been a much higher seed, but I think it feels like history has proven time and again that they're going to put those teams that have really dominant performances like that on the 8-9 line and make them prove something. And they did a year ago. So I feel a little bit vindicated by having them at a 7 on my list, but they ended up being a 9. You know, I think there's probably other lessons to be learned for similar teams from previous years. And the other team I missed by 2 was Texas A&M, which I think falls into one of the things you said, which was a little bit of their performance in the SEC tournament. I thought they'd played well there. Didn't end up winning it, but made it to the final day. Had a really strong conference performance, but struggled in the non-conference. And I think didn't schedule particularly well, although I think they scheduled a little bit better than they did the year prior. So probably a lesson to be learned on that. And the other thing, I don't know that I have these from enough years back, but of the teams I missed where I was a seed line higher than what the committee did, a disproportionate number of them were Big Ten teams. And I'm not sure what exactly that means, but I was higher, one seed higher on Michigan State, Maryland, Iowa, and Illinois. I don't know if that is just a function of watch. That just suggests I need to watch less Big Ten basketball, which would probably be, you know, a good thing for my overall well-being. But I do think it is harder. And I run into that with IU a lot, where I feel like I might be a little bit lower on them sometimes than other people, because it's a little bit what we were talking about with the Big Ten, right? Like you're more familiar with IU or other teams in the league because of, you know, doing this and just generally area of the country we live in and all those kinds of things. And I think it, you know, sometimes you might think you know more about these teams because you've watched so many games of theirs, but you need to try to figure out a way to take a step back a little bit. And figure out, is that how other people would perceive this team, or am I maybe too close to the situation to really get an accurate read on it? I don't think I had noticed that before when I did that, but it was interesting that was a common theme. Was about half the teams I missed by one seed line too high were Big Ten teams. So that probably says something. I should change something.
Pretty soon, right. We're going to be across the country with 28 teams.
Well, yeah, who knows?
Big Ten, once they start playing.
Yeah,
it'll take away any of that issue of being, you know, too much information about the Big Ten.
Absolutely. Throw in the fact that some of the games are going to be starting so late, I won't even be able to stay up and watch. So I won't be able to know as much about the team. So it's a win. From Terrence Harper, we talked a little bit about this earlier. Do you think the new walk-ons will see any time on the floor this season? I think we touched on that a little bit, but you know, I think certainly in some of the bye games, I think they'll get some potential opportunities there. I think, as we said before, outside of injuries, I don't think you'll see them a great deal unless they really show something either extremely strong defensively or really are shooting it well. I think are the two paths to now. If they can do both, they can do both those things, and maybe we'll both be proven wrong in terms of how much they'll play. But the guy from Air Force also coming back off of missing a year with surgery, so you don't really know. You know, take him a little bit while to work his way back. But any other thoughts on playing time for those guys as you look ahead to the season?
Yeah, and this is no offense to those guys, but even preferred walk-ons are preferred walk-ons. The scholarship guys are better, and you're going to go through your scholarship guys first, and then if they do practice well and improve, you might give them a scholarship. But if you play a guy like that, that means one of your scholarships or two of your scholarships guys has not improved and is not capable of playing at the Big Ten, which isn't good. So, you know, I'm proud that those guys are Indiana. I'd like to see them in some of those bye games or in some situations where there's blowouts. And if they earn it, there have been cases in college basketball where walk-ons have come in and really is it Rayford or Radford?
I think it's Rayford.
There's a guy who played in the Mountain West and had a year off. That's a guy who you could see potentially getting to a level of playing because he was a D1 player before. It's not just a really good high school player that is coming and passing up a D2 or D3 or NAIA to go to a Division I school and walk on and do that. That's a high-level walk-on. But I just don't see major minutes unless something has not worked out with the perimeters in the Indiana program currently.
Yep. All right, next one from Peter Weisenbach. Coach Woodson isn't going to coach forever. Who are some internal candidates you would love to see being the head coach someday? He said, personally, I would love to see Jordy take over. And externally, who are some other under-the-radar candidates with Indiana connections other than the obvious and Dusty May and Michael Lewis?
Well, Peter, I think you just named the next Indiana coach.
He definitely took some of the what would be the more popular options for sure.
You know, it's interesting. I saw this question this afternoon and driving around Lafayette today doing some furniture shopping before the show. I was giving it some thought. It was a lot more enjoyable than the cost of furniture. But, you know, I do think this might be a case, you know, depending on what Coach Woodson wants to do. In the next year or two, if he wants to continue coaching, they probably need to extend him for recruiting. You can't go into your last year unknown, because that's going to just, you know, put a lot of negative recruiting into coaching staffs around the country if Woodson's recruiting in year five or six without an extension. So I think after next year, you have to extend if he wants to continue coaching. And at this point, I think there's no reason you wouldn't do that. I think so then what's Indiana going to do? Are you going to go internally? I think we have guys on staff that could take over. But, boy, that is a 50-50 proposition, Andy. You've seen the Purdue situation worked out with Matt Painter. But there have been other situations where you've had, you know, your predetermined guy. It didn't work out in Indiana one time when you got rid of Coach Knight and hired Mike Davis. So I'm comfortable with the three assistant coaches that we have. And I think, you know, that – they're the two, you know, I think they could take over. And I think if you have a Coach Woodson who's built the program up, we've gone to the tournament 5 or 6 years and he wants to retire because of it's just time for him to retire, I would not have a problem with any of those guys being asked to take over. I do think your two choices there, Dusty May and Michael Lewis, should probably be 1 and 1A on the interview list, because I do see now the value of Indiana connections. I still think you can get a good basketball coach that isn't connected to Indiana, because like Bob Knight played at Ohio State. But it's either a real top coach at that point coming in, taking over for Coach Woodson, who's demonstrated winning at a high level at a Power 5 school, or I think you go Dusty May or Michael Lewis and keep the Indiana connection. At least you have a good young coach coming up from a smaller program that has Indiana connections, and I think that might be the key. So I think that's still 4 years away. I think Coach Woodson's going to coach through his contract at least, and he will let Indiana know if he wants to be extended or not, and they'll start thinking about it in year five or six if there needs to be a successor. But I think Indiana's in better position than I thought 3 years ago with coaching.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of internal candidates, you know, Holes is an interesting one, as he mentions here. I do think Kenny Hunter is a guy who everybody has been really positive about as he's been there. So if you look at not an IU guy, but somebody who's been on the staff through a couple different regimes, obviously somebody has to feel pretty good. It's not all that common for somebody to stay over from, you know, previous staff when somebody new comes along. So I think that's somewhat telling that he was retained in that scenario. And yeah, I really struggle to think about who some of the other, you know, candidates with IU connections would be that aren't really there outside of, you know, Dusty May and Michael Lewis. You know, you kind of scan down the list of, you know, just college basketball teams in general, you know, those feel like the two obvious ones. So I'm not really aware of somebody else that would be there. And I think if those are your two guys, you got to feel good that you'd be able to go get one of those guys, and you don't need somebody more under the radar than they would be. But
I think it'd be hard for Halls to jump in 4 years.
I think so too.
Not official coach. I think that would be difficult to ask him to even do that. Now, could he be an assistant coach on a staff like that? Yes, I do think. But I think Halls would be I don't know that he's not. I'm not saying he's not capable, but there's a lot of experience of being an assistant and moving up and doing those things in coaching to take over a program like Indiana. You know, everyone was kind of questioning Mike Woodson. Did he have enough college experience? And the guy had been in the pros for 25 years. So yeah. I think it's, that would be a long shot for Jordy to be asked.
I think that's a lot longer term. And he's early in that career, but I do think and I think that's something they'll probably look to do with him, is try to figure out how to give him some of those other opportunities.
Right.
As you move people around in different capacities. But yeah, I think to jump from, you know, even if he, you know, moved over a chair every year between now and that 4 year time period, that's not a lot of experience at those different levels to really do it. But I think that would, that feels unlikely as one that would be the Woodson successor. Maybe he's the successor to the successor if you kind of groom him and go through some of the process that way. We'll end with a couple questions from Valerie, who did an excellent job on the trivia last week. So first one, when can we expect the full men's schedule to come out? I tried to look back a little bit in recent years. It seemed like kind of, you know, maybe around the 10th or so of September as a ballpark. So, you know, they've announced the non-conference. I think the non-conference piece is pretty much all known at this point. I think what isn't known, Big Ten opponents are known, just not the actual dates of those. But I think I look back and there was one might have been around the 8th of September, one another around the 12th. So I'd look for it probably another couple weeks yet to wait for that or so, just trying to use history as our guide on that one. And her other question, has anyone heard anything about Peacock and college basketball, especially the Big Ten? I know when some of the conversations around all these things were going, there was mention of some of the games being on Peacock. I have not, and maybe that's something that becomes more clear when the schedule comes out in terms of what they have and how many they'll carry and, you know, whether what you need to pony up for another subscription. I don't know, Coach, if you have seen or heard anything about that. It seemed like a relatively minimal number of games would be there, at least initially, but I think the schedule release will probably inform a little bit of what we need to know there from a viewing standpoint.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a decent portion of Big Ten games on Peacock. How it affects Indiana viewing, I'm not sure. I would imagine one or two games from Indiana will probably
that's what I'm assuming, yeah. That's
on
what
Peacock
I would guess.
Would be my guess. And I think right now it's either $4.99 or $5.99 a month maybe, and I don't know. I just pay for
it. I don't know. That's one of the ones I don't have, so I really don't look forward to having to try to figure out, you know, remember another password.
I know everyone has their different – I finally cut the cord from DirecTV in January. I upped my internet so I could have good Wi-Fi for a change, and it's been awesome. But, like, I'm running this show right now, and I'm running three smart TVs down here in my basement with different games and not having a glitch. So – if you do ever want to go to streaming on smart TVs or Roku or Fire Sticks, just upgrade your internet. I ended up saving totally $100 and some cutting the cord and having these extra subscriptions. So it is a pain in the butt to get subscribed, and with all the stuff, I understand that. But I found a way to save about $100-$115 and have Peacock, have some of these other Apple TV as well as stuff. And I absolutely am mad at myself that I didn't go to streaming earlier. So, you know, it is possible to do that, as frustrating as it may seem. And so, I guess it's $5.99. Brian Toohey said $5.99. I just went up. Again, it does add up. But dang, DirecTV was robbing me blind, and I finally realized it, Andy. So,
yeah, I mean, you didn't enjoy an old dog new tricks. Where, yeah, the song and dance where you just had to call and complain to try to get a new deal. Yeah, I did that a few years even before you did. But yeah, that was somewhat tiresome to go through all that. So,
you know, when you call to cancel, now they have the deal.
You know? Oh, yeah, exactly. That was exactly what I said when I did it. I go, well, it would be great if you're like, oh, you've been a valued customer for X amount of time. And I'm like, well, it would be great if I was so valued that you would just give me a good deal instead of having me have to fake like I'm going to go someplace else just to try to get you to give me a better deal. But that's either here nor there.
Valerie, it makes a great point. You really do have to, in order to fully enjoy streaming, you have to have really – really good internet if it's available in your area. We upgraded to a cable. We now have, our town has been in fiber. We might be going to that too, but it's been night and day since January when I upgraded. Got rid of my landline for final. Got rid of my landline, changed internet providers, changed TV, and saved $115. So
there you go.
Pretty good. Are you on Peacock?
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for questions.
All right. I gotta get out of here, folks. Thank you.
So appreciate those. And that will do it for us on this week's episode of the Assembly Call. So if you want to see us do the show live, you can join us at assemblycall.com on Thursday nights for the live broadcast of our Assembly Call radio recording. Thanks to Bob Thompson for producing our music. And thanks to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logos. And thank you for listening. Until then.
Take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
That's it. We're done. No more questions.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right.
Good job. Good talking with you again, Andy. Appreciate it. Good show.
Hey, you too. Yeah. Appreciate everybody being here. I think I've got a few things lined up for the coming weeks. I believe I don't have this in front of me, so take this with a grain of salt, but I think next week Eamon Brennan's going to be on.
Yeah.
Be interesting to get his perspective. I know I enjoyed him being on Podcast on the Brink a month or so ago with Alex and talking about his new venture and perspective on IU. Ryan was quick to remind us that he worked with Eamon at the IDS, so always the possibility to potentially pry some embarrassing Ryan stories out, which should really be enough to get anybody to tune in, and we'll go from there. So I think Jared's got a couple other guests working for the coming weeks after that, but I forget what they are, quite honestly. They've slipped my mind, so we'll just we'll roll them out as they come, but should be good next week for sure.
Absolutely. So we're getting closer.
All right. Absolutely. Little closer. So all right. Well, Coach, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your continued furniture shopping.
Absolutely.
Both from a cost perspective and a when you can actually receive said furniture perspective. That's always a good time.
So here's how bad we are, Andy. We went tonight. We found a couch we really like. Come home and found out is a little bit too big for our living room. So the one we were thinking of we were going to end up with is now totally gone. out the window after 3 hours of four different stores. We had dinner. We talked about it. We pros and cons and all of that. And then we find out we're back to square one. Yeah.
That sounds about right. Well, I mean, the good news is that you actually looked first and that you didn't get it delivered and then figure out that it wouldn't fit. So
Exactly.
While not ideal to have to change direction, it could be worse if you were to make the wrong make the wrong decision. So anyway, all right. Well, thanks to everybody. We'll be back.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.